Welcome to Music and the Message from St. Peter Lutheran Church in Gilberts, Illinois. We pray this blend of musical praise and the spoken word will enlighten your day and bring you closer to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
The following readings and sermon are from the 9 a.m. service on Sunday, October 17th, 2021.
The Old Testament reading this morning is taken from Malachi chapter 3. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. From the days of your fathers you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? Will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? in your tithes and contributions. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, and there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle this morning is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 9. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 16th chapter. Jesus also said to the disciples, there was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions. And he called him and said to him, what is this that I hear about you? Turn in the account of your management, for you no longer can be manager. And the manager said to himself, what shall I do, since my master is taking the management away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do, so that when I am removed from my management, people may receive me into their houses. So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he said to the first, how much do you owe my master? He said, 100 measures of oil. He said to him, take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, and how much do you owe? He said, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, take your bill and write 80. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, my friends, make friends for yourself by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and from our Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning's story, a manager accused of malfeasance. For acting dishonestly, he has lost his master's confidence. He now faces termination, and with it, a life of poverty out on the streets. What to do? Hard labor? Panhandling? Well, neither of those alternatives appeal to this man. And so the manager sits down and thinks to himself, well, how about making some new friends who can help me out in my time of trouble? That's the ticket. That's the answer to my problem. It's also rather curious, isn't it? Exactly how does this miscreant manager intend to accomplish that? My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, think about your own relationships. Making good friends takes time, doesn't it? And with an exit interview and the unemployment line hanging over this man's head, exactly how does he plan on making reliable friends that will provide for him in his time of need? Well, here's how. In the same way in which he had been deceiving his master for many years, the manager had been in charge of the master's assets from which he had been stealing. It had always been a matter of a little bit here, a little bit there. One for me, two for you. Two for me, one for you. After all, who would notice? Of course, as they always do, someone eventually did. And now this manager's head rests on the chopping block. Well then, why not, the manager thought to himself. As long as I am on the way out, why not give it a try just one more time? Perhaps he could once more use what belonged to the master to get himself out of trouble. Perhaps he could buy himself a few new friends when he needed them most. And so, the dishonest manager went to those who were indebted to his master. He told them to pay what they owed, only at a discounted rate. 100 measures of wheat? No problem. Pay 80. 100 measures of oil? Pay 50. Only pay it now. Now, that's a risky scheme. Well, then again, what could the manager do to him? What could the employer, the master, do to him? Fire him? He was already on the way out, right? Well, actually, far from it. The master actually commended the manager for his shrewdness. Perhaps you've read this story before and you found it somewhat confusing. What is the moral of the story? Is it okay to use what is not ours for our personal benefit? Well, no. And that's not what Jesus is saying, okay? It is a grievous sin to take what is not ours. The manager was a thief, and thieves should be punished to teach them to respect the rights of ownership. And in this particular case, the manager should have lost his job and perhaps spent some time in jail as well. And yet, interestingly enough, Jesus points us to the shrewdness of this manager. And using that shrewdness, the manager maneuvered his way out of a tight situation. By forgiving the debts that those customers owed, he made friends for them himself, if and when he found himself out of a job. So yes, it is indeed wrong to steal that seventh commandment stuff. But it is God-pleasing to make good use of those things around us to serve the mission of the gospel. And in this regard, Jesus would have us make friends with the world for the purpose of working in this world to accomplish his purpose. Now, perhaps you're still a little bit confused about that. Please don't be. Making friends with the world simply means doing what you do best so that the word of God can be spread. Of course, some folks are very talented at making money. Some people can take what looks like nothing and turn it into a gold mine. And for any Christian who is gifted in this way comes the responsibility of giving a percentage of all or what he or she has to the church and to its mission. Because God gives that person the ability to be good at what he or she does, he also gives to them the vision to see how that wealth is to be used in service to the church on earth. And the willingness to do so in faith clearly identifies that giver as a child of God and a follower of Jesus Christ. Now perhaps someone's thinking, wait a minute, I'm not wealthy. Au contraire, my friends, au contraire. To every child of God, God gives a wealth of blessings. Now it may not be money, but every one of us, without exception, have been given unique skills, talents, and abilities. Some of you are energetic. Others are patient listeners. Some are artistic, and others quite organized. Some of you have plenty of time on your hands. Some don't. Others have experienced loss and hardship and are well equipped to help another person through times of grief and sorrow. And whatever it may be for you, Jesus asks that you be shrewd with your gifts so that the benefit goes to his kingdom of grace. Because that is what making friends with the world is all about. The greatest of all joy is to be found in using what God has given you to entrust and entrusted to you to serve other people in Jesus' name. Now, if I may ask, does that thought frighten you? Do you fear that giving to God will somehow hurt you rather than enrich you? I know. As a matter of fact, I've heard it all. You're busy, right? You don't have time to serve the church. No, not right now. And as for tithing, Pastor, everything is so expensive today. The inflation rate keeps going up and up. The bills keep piling up. You're stretched to the limit and you're stressed out. So how can I possibly claim that giving to God will enrich you? It's simple. Because giving to God feels good. Giving to God is liberating. Giving enables you to trust in God. For it is only when you are giving to God that you begin to realize how very much God has given to you. What has God given for you? Were you not dead in your sins when Jesus Christ died for you? Yes, Jesus died to give you the forgiveness of sins. From God, you have been given salvation from a world that is going to die. And now, instead of fearing death, you look forward to an everlasting life with God in heaven. We've probably all heard it said, you get what you pay for. But you already know that eternal life can't be purchased. With that said, if it could, how much would you be willing to pay for it? Every dollar you ever earned? Would you be willing to give up all your retirement accounts and 401ks? Would you be able to give up all your free time, your health, and your most prized possessions? Well, sorry, that's not enough. All the time and treasures you so covet today will one day amount to nothing at all. And I must ask, how can anyone compare all of this stuff to the joy and peace that Jesus gives to you? My friends, not even your offerings can purchase the grace of God. It's not for sale. It's free to you. It can only be given to us by God himself, by faith in Jesus Christ. We get what we cannot pay for and what we do not deserve. And therefore, since God has been pleased to give us the kingdom of heaven, it brings us joy to use our earthly treasures for his purposes. And God has promised to bless us when we do. Through the Old Testament prophet Malachi, God declares, "In tithes and offerings, you are robbing me, Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Test me in this, and see if I will not throw open the gates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. Well, perhaps you never thought of not giving to give to God as robbing from him. But that's not what God's word says. And that same word also promises that God will bless you, not necessarily with money, but in ways well beyond your expectations. Now I must ask, do you take God at his word? Let your yes be yes, and your no be no. My friends, if you find it so hard to give to God, then why would God give you more? If you can't get by on what you have and never think to give an offering of thanks to God, why then would God give you more? For if he did, you would only spend the extra on yourself and return nothing to him. If you have no time to stop whatever you're doing and listen to God, why would he lessen your load? You would only find something else to occupy yourself with rather than listening to his word. This is exactly what Jesus means when he says, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. And that's why I challenge you to find the gift and the joy of giving to God. Obviously, today we speak of stewardship. But our consideration of stewardship is not limited to one day in the year. Since a faithful steward is informed by every aspect of who he is and how he lives his life as a Christian here on earth, you should prayerfully seek God's will in all that you do and in all that you give. And as you do that, self-examine. Ask yourself why. Why God has given you all the good things you have. Then find the joy of being a blessing by giving to God some of those things you love. Don't give to God what's left over. Don't give to God what you're not using. That's not a gift of love. God gave to us his only beloved Son. Give back to God what of you love most. Who is your true master? Who do you love the most? Is it your money? Is it your personal time? Is it your life's activities? Is it your kids' or your grandkids' busy schedule? Ask yourself, who is your master? Who do you sacrifice yourself for? All that I've described are good things, but Jesus says we can only have one master. And you must remember, a master is that person who helps you when you need it. When this life ends and you must leave this world, will all your money help you then? Will your job or your possessions or even your children be able to save you? Only your true master will help you then, Jesus Christ our Lord, who gave himself to death for us all. Serve the Lord in the giving of yourself in whatever way you have been blessed. Remember the church and how God has blessed us through her. And experience the great, great joy that comes with being God's faithful steward. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of Music and the Message, brought to you from St. Peter Lutheran Church, located in Gilberts, Illinois. Worship services are held on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m., and on Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. For more information, please visit our website at www.stpeterlutheran.org. Thanks for listening, and God's blessings on your week.